All right, let's head up to Indianapolis, shall we? The legislative session has wrapped up, and no person knows more about what's going on than the president and CEO of the Indiana Chamber of Commerce. It's our great friend, Kevin Brinegar. Good afternoon. How are you?
I am doing great. Recovered from that last week and that late last night that went well past midnight. And we're very pleased. It was an outstanding session for the business community and of the state and for Hoosiers in general.
For those not as in tune to this as you are, why did everything go so late on that final night? Just to get it done with? Why you just didn't want to come back tomorrow for one day? Is there some symbolism in there, or is that the letter of the law?
Well, it's not the letter of the law. The law says you can go till midnight on the 29th, which would have been Saturday. The real driving force was the firefighters were coming to town. And many National Firefighters Convention and many legislators were going to lose their hotel rooms. And so they needed to finish up on Thursday the 27th. And they thought that it would have been done earlier in the day, but there was a debate over the tuition support formula for our K-12 schools, and ended up having to redo the school formula runs and ultimately put an additional $300 million into the pot that reduced the amount, but still a very large amount that was placed in the unfunded, towards the unfunded liability of the teacher's retirement fund at some $700 million. So that caused things to be redone a couple times and caused them to go past midnight. But there was a strong commitment to finish up that day because of the impending invasion of firefighters into downtown Indianapolis.
The impending eviction is probably the better word, right? Because the hotels, they want. But let's talk about economic development matters. House Bill 1001, well, you guys were pleased, you being the Indiana Chamber of Commerce. Tell us tell us what we saw there that makes you guys excited for the future.
Well, the investments and the continued investments in that go to the Indiana Economic Development Corporation. We have another round of the Regional Ready program, another $500 million there. They replenished the funds that EIEDC can commit towards tax credits for recruiting, things like headquarters relocation, edge tax credits, et cetera. They doubled the manufacturing readiness matching grant program, which will help our manufacturers upgrade their technology and remain and continue to be competitive in the global marketplace. So those were some of the things I think in the economic development area that were very, very important. Beyond that, the budget makes, and of course, it helps to have money to invest.
Amen.
And having a, the state was in an extremely strong position before going into the session, and then we got the April revenue forecast update that projected an additional $1.5 billion of state revenue over this two-year budget biennium. And so that always helps, too. But we think that there were some strategic investments made. There'll be an additional $1.5 billion for our K-12 schools, which will help further raise teacher salaries and fund things such as reading recovery programs and adult early learning and childhood literacy, and as well as making investments to help adults who don't have their high school diploma get their GED. There was pretty strong new investments in higher education as well. And like I said, that $700 million going to buy down the unfunded liability in that pre-96 teacher pension fund, which will reduce the time to which that's completely paid off by about 2 years. There was also significant capital investments. Each university got their top capital priority funded with cash from the General Assembly, as well as IU and Purdue got an additional investment for buildings at the Indianapolis campus to further the split, or the divorce, as some people are calling it, between IU and Purdue on the Indianapolis campus. They will now operate independently of one another, and they each receive $60 million for a new building, IU on the science side, Purdue, I believe, on the engineering technology side. So that was good.
Well, can you just talk really quickly about how important education is, the funding of it, the retraining of it, to make sure, like you mentioned, if a corporation wants to headquarter, re-headquarter, or develop here, you have to have a workforce and you have to have an educated public.
Well, exactly. And we've made tremendous strides, and I'm proud that the Indiana Chamber has been at the tip of the spear on many of the things that over the last 20 years have made us one of the best business climates, tax climates, regulatory climates, both in the best in the Midwest and one of the best in the entire country. But the area where we've not made as much progress is with our education and workforce metrics. We still rank something like 37th in the country for the percentage of our adult population that has some sort of degree or credential that would be recognized and valued by employers. We've got last year less than 40% of the students eligible for the 21st Century Scholars program actually enrolled in that program, and that got changed this session. We're very pleased to say that now those eighth graders who are eligible will be automatically enrolled, and if they meet the activity requirements, which are not substantial, they can earn free post-secondary tuition assistance for 4 years, whether that be a bachelor's degree, associate's degree, or a welding certificate even, as well as that's the requirement helps with the next level jobs programs as well. So it really is, we're in a period of history where we're in an increasingly talent driven economy, and you know, it's businesses are making decisions on where they think people will be, the workforce will be, to meet their needs and requirements for growth and competitiveness.
Kevin Briniger, the former Bloomington North Cougar and president and CEO of the Indiana Chamber of Commerce, joins us this afternoon as we wrap up the legislative session in Indianapolis. I know over the years, Kevin, when we've spoken, you have not always been thrilled at Indiana's health rankings in certain areas, whether it's smoking or other places. Is there anything that we learned from this session that will help perhaps improve those rankings?
Yes, the passages of Senate Bill 1 and Senate Bill 4, Senate Bill 1 being the recommendations of the Behavioral Health Commission, and that was funded in the budget at $50 million a year. That's a new investment that will help go towards a 988 mental health crisis hotline, and also expand services in our mental health centers across the state. And then Senate Bill 4 was the recommendations from the Public Health Commission that the governor established that will provide funding. I think it's, $225 million over the biennium, which is a huge new investment that will create a kind of a challenge match program for local health departments across the state. If they agree to commit towards meeting certain metrics established by the state, then they can receive this additional funding from the state beyond what they receive at the local level, and all in an effort to better improve our overall public health. We know that we were not well prepared for a COVID pandemic. And we learned a lot of lessons there, and I think the recommendations of the commission that are now in statute, as well as the funding incentives from the state, will go a long way towards improving public health, particularly in our less populated counties across the state.
And as we look back at the legislative session, Kevin Brenniger, the Indiana Chamber of Commerce, is our guest. One of the big things our great friend Marty Hawk was talking about here was some tax relief because of the rising assessment rates and everything else. Did that make it through this, or do we have to wait for that?
Well, there's two areas of tax that are worth highlighting. One, in the property tax area, there's really nothing that can be done this year because the assessments have already been made and the bills have been sent out. But for next year, for homeowners, the legislation increases the homestead credit, which will in turn reduce the amount of assessed value that your property is has to pay taxes on. And then secondly, longer term, it's reducing the levy growth, the amount of money that local units can collect. That's currently based on the five-year average of an inflationary measure. And the new language that was enacted says that the levy growth can be no more than the lesser of 4% or 80% of what that five-year inflationary average would be. That will curb the spikes in levy growth and property taxes collected, not only for homes, but for businesses and farms and all classes of property. So that's a very significant development. Then on the income tax side, the very first bill enacted, Public Law 1, which was Senate Bill 2, which the chamber spearheaded, will provide relief to all of our small and medium-sized businesses that function as pass-through entities, such as S-corporations, LLCs, LLPs. Currently, their ability to deduct the state and local income taxes paid on their federal tax return is limited to $10,000. This new law will set up essentially a workaround so that all of those pass-through businesses will be able to take full deductibility on their federal return. That will provide well north of $100 million of tax relief to Indiana businesses, but it will not affect state revenues at all.
And everybody likes the sound of that, obviously.
Yeah, we'd rather not have that $100 million or whatever the number ends up being going into what I call the black hole of the federal government.
Kevin Brenniger is our guest, the Indiana Chamber of Commerce. Was there anything on your agenda, you being the chamber, that you felt did not receive the necessary attention or needs to be revisited down the road?
Well, we would have liked to have seen the mental health and the public health commission recommendations funded through an increase in the cigarette tax, which would further help improve our health metrics. Our cigarette smoking rate is 50% higher than the U.S. average. It's the highest of all of our surrounding states, while our cigarette tax is the lowest of all of our surrounding states. And the research shows there's a definite statistical relationship between what your cigarette tax rate is and what your smoking rate is in your state. Unfortunately, the downside of the big bump in the revenue forecast in mid-April that bumped things up was that the state then had enough money to fund the mental health and the behavioral health or the public health commission recommendations, at least to the level that the General Assembly was comfortable with, out of general funds. And so the idea of increasing cigarette tax got taken off the table and we'll have to wait for another day.
What other sin taxes, I don't know what else to qualify it, cigarette is. I mean, is there anything else you can, you being the chamber, look to, was it lottery, gambling, anything? I mean, the other, there are things that everybody has to use like gasoline. The other things not everyone has to use. Help me make sense of this terrible question I'm trying to ask.
Well, our focus was on the cigarette and tobacco taxes because of the direct negative health impacts. That was really the only, quote, sin tax that we were proposing be increased and have, you know, we've been part of a group called the Alliance for Healthier Indiana, which includes the State Hospital Association, State Medical, Anthem, and other chambers, you know, calling for this as a way to address the very poor health metrics that we have with respect to cigarette use, vaping, and other tobacco and nicotine delivery products.
Before I let you go, we know you're very busy in Indy in the month of May, but you had the marathon or the mini marathon. You'll have the qualifying, the road course race, the parade, the 107th running. We know it's a busy time up there, but there's going to be a new governor in down the road. How interested or involved does the chamber get in trying to figure out who's going to be next?
We typically do not make endorsements, if that's what you're getting at, in the governor's race, particularly when it's an open seat, as it will be in 2024. Our focus is really on the state legislature, but obviously we're very interested in, you know, who becomes the next governor, because we have to work with their entire administration and all the different agencies that touch the activities of businesses and regulate business activity. So, in fact, you know, we've got a board meeting coming up here soon, and we're going to hear from some of the declared candidates for governor and hear what they have to say about policies and what their visions are for the future. So, highly interested, but it's not a race that we get directly involved in.
Gotcha. And do you go back and grade Holcomb's 8 years, or was it just we turn the page and move on to something else?
Well, we've never really. I mean, I guess we'll tabulate things, but you know, for us, Governor Holcomb has been, and his whole administration has been very good to work with. We feel that, you know, we've been great partners and have moved the state forward in many, many, on many, many different fronts and in many positive ways. So, you know, from our perspective, it's been a pleasure to work with Governor Holcomb and his team over these, what would it be, 6.5 years now, and certainly expect that will continue all the way through the end of the 8 years.
Still work to do, obviously, and this time is not up just yet. What's next on your calendar? I just told you about all the great things going on in Indianapolis. What is your focus over the next couple of weeks?
Well, our spring board of directors meeting is coming up at the end of next week. So that's a big focus right now. And then later in the summer, we've got an anniversary of sorts. I don't know if you know, but in the early part of my career while I was in college, I went through the IU Police Department's cadet officer training program and became a fully licensed police officer. And at one point, thought my career was going to take me in the direction of becoming a state trooper, but then graduate school called and went a different direction. But the IU Police Department's cadet officer program is holding their 50th anniversary in July. And so I'm trying to make sure my calendar's open to attend that and go reconnect with some of my classmates and visit graduates in other years as well.
I did not know that. Absolutely fantastic. Well, we wish you a wonderful rest of the Indy in the month of May and hope the meetings go well. And we'll touch base later in the summer and see what's going on because, well, you guys never get that much. It's not off time. It's just not legislative time, right?
Oh, exactly. Lots of preparation because there's always another session and there are always more issues that come about. But I get down there either visiting family or for this reunion or some other time. I'll try to do a in-studio
I love
visit
it.
Door in the summer.
Door is always open, buddy. We don't have any retinal scans or anything else. You just knock. I'll let you right in.
All right. That sounds great.
Thanks, Kevin. We always appreciate the updates and have a great couple months. We'll be in touch.
I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you and your listeners. Take care.